2760, turn left 070.
You're hearing Week on the Web
with your host, Jeff Decker.
In a post titled, How the USAF Shot Itself in the Foot Over the Past 20 Years, Repeatedly, Dave Mahamdar directed the Dew Lines readers to the U.S. Air Force Research Institute's Air and Space Journal and its article on the service's missteps in acquiring tactical fighters. The verdict? The cost of F-22s and F-35s threatens to reduce the size of the Air Force's fielded fighter fleet to dangerously small numbers, particularly in the current fiscal environment. On Asian Skies, Mavis Toe blogged on her visit to COMAC's Final Assembly Center. And on Aerial View, Ari Agosi noted a U.S. regulatory decision to restore Israel to the Category 1 safety standard. It took too much time and caused too much damage, but Israel cannot blame anyone for this. This was earned with long years of negligence and ignorance, declared Agosi. And now, the top stories of the week from FlightGlobal.com. The U.S. Air Force's 33rd Fighter Wing has completed its first week of flying for the Lockheed Martin F-35A Joint Strike Fighter's Operational Utility Evaluation at Eglin Air Force Base. The service's Air Education and Training Command will declare the unit ready for training operations early next year if the activity is deemed successful. We got off to a little bit of a slow start just due to cold weather, says Colonel Andrew Toth, 33rd Flight Wing Commander. But by midweek, things were going really well, and we actually flew 7 out of our 10 student sorties. Bell Helicopter has entered the production phase of the first prototype of the F-25 Relentless, a super medium-class product, and the company's boldest move yet to reclaim share in the commercial market. The company, based in Fort Worth, Texas, started releasing digital design models to suppliers after completing a preliminary design phase on 26th of June. That allowed suppliers of certain components, such as a tail rotor assembly actuator, a main rotor gearbox carrier development part, and the accessory gearbox, to enter production, says Larry Timesh, Bell's Vice President of Commercial Programs. Improper takeoff clearances contributed to 2 serious air proximity incidents less than 3 months apart, involving regional jets at Chicago O'Hare. U.S. National Transportation Safety Board inquiries found that a SkyWest Bombardier CRJ-200 had been approaching runway 9R when a controller cleared an ExpressJet Embraer ERJ-145 to depart from runway 32L. The center lines of the two runways intersect. "Don't delay, roll," the controller told the ERJ crew. About 1 minute later, a separate tower controller ordered the CRJ-200 to execute a go-round, and it crossed 32L about 275 feet above and 480 feet behind the ERJ. "What the expletive was that?" the ERJ pilot demanded from the controller, who responded, "Sorry about that." The ERJ's captain subsequently told investigators he had yelled at the controller after nearly being killed, adding that he had told the first officer to stay low to prevent rotation. The NTSB attributed the May 16, 2011 event to the controller's issuance of an improper takeoff clearance and failure to recall the CRJ-200's inbound arrival. Hawker Beechcraft's decision to axe its struggling Hawker business jet brand has taken a bite out of Airbus, which supplied fuselages and wing sections from its factory in Brighton in the UK. Parent EAD said it tried and failed to help find a buyer for Hawker Beechcraft and was forced to take a third-quarter charge of €76 million against lost sales. However, no Airbus jobs have been put at risk, as staff working on Hawker aerostructures will be redeployed as Airbus ramps up A320 production and gets ready to begin serial production of its in-development A350 twinjet. And the charge against Hawker had little impact on a solid third-quarter and 9-month financial performance. Airbus commercial quarter 3 revenue gained 22% to €8.14 billion.